see God's wrath or God's judgment upon the people of Israel. And their thinkings and what they are saying and doing. The thing to remember here that he, in this chapter 21, in this little bit of space here, he's going to tell us about the sword of the Lord and how the judgment is going to come upon Jerusalem through that sword, and then the sharpened sword going to represent what the Lord's going to do to them, and then Nebuchadnezzar's sword. And we'll see what's going to happen in these three short messages that he's going to share here. And we're going to look first at the one towards Israel, Jerusalem. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to me and said, Son of man, set your face against Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuary." Now, Jerusalem is what? God's city. That's where he allowed them to build the temple and his house and the things that they did here concerning this. And, you know, Ezekiel, after the Lord told him what his judgment was going to be like and what for him to tell the people, you know how he finished out the last verse in the previous chapter. He said, "You'll know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, and not according to your evil ways and your corrupt practices, O house of Israel," declared the sovereign Lord. And then Ezekiel said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, they are saying of me, isn't he just telling a parable?" Another one of his crazy stories. They want to believe him in what he was saying. So now in chapter 21 in verse 1, said, "The word of the Lord came to me and said, Son of man, set your face against Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuary. Prophesy against the land of Israel and say to her, this is what the Lord says, I am against you." You think about that for a moment. This is God talking to his prophet, Ezekiel, and telling him to tell the city of Jerusalem and the Israelites that God is against them. Can you think of anything any more dreadful than to know the Lord's against you? He said, "I will draw my sword from its scabbard, and I'll cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad. Because I'm going to cut off the righteous and the wicked, my sword will be unsheathed against everyone from the north to the south. Then all the people will know that I am the Lord, have drawn my sword from the scabbard, and it will not return again." He's going to hold his judgment against them through thick and thin, all the way. No one's excluded. The righteous, the wicked, the whole nine yards. And the purpose behind it is to do what? So that all people will know what? That I am the Lord. That's right. What's going to happen one of these days? He's going to take his judgment out on this whole world of ours, isn't he? And his bride, the church, will be called out, and then all the world will know that he is the Lord. What he does and his heart and his life. Look at verse 6. It said, "Therefore groan, son of man. Groan before them with broken hearts and bitter grief. And when they ask you, why are you groaning? You shall say, because of the news that is coming. Every heart will melt and every hand go limp. Every spirit will become faint and every knee become as weak as water." It's coming. It will surely take place, declares the sovereign Lord. You know, God's telling Ezekiel what to tell the Israelites. It's going to happen to them, it's going to happen to their city, and into their temple. You know, they've always had confidence, you know, that the Lord won't destroy because his house is there, his temple's there. Wrong. And verse 8, he said, some word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says. A sword, sharpened and polished, sharpened for the slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. He's going to go through. Children of Israel, he said, both the wicked and the righteous. Going to destroy them. And so their judgment is going to come from the sword and what he has to do for them. But the sharpened sword, here, the second thing that he's talking about, let's see what he says about it. The word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says. A sword, sharpened and polished, sharpened for the slaughter and polished to flash like lightning. Shall we rejoice in the scepter of my son Judah? The sword despises every such stick. The sword is appointed to be polished, to be grasped with a hand. It is sharpened, it's polished, it's made ready for the hand of the slayer. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the princesses of Israel. They are thrown to the sword along with my people. Therefore, beat your breast. Them beating their chest or their breast was a sign of sorrow, grief in their hearts and their lives. These folks up to this point in place and time was holding on to hope that was no hope because of their sinful nature that they was doing to the Lord. But God is preparing them for what's going to take place. So we've seen here the Lord and what he's going to do and their hearts and their lives concerning this. And so anything, he's going to tell them how he's going to do it now. We better pay attention when we listen to this. Listen to what 13. Testing will surely come. And what if the scepter of Judah, which the sword despiseth, does not continue, declares the sovereign Lord. So then, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. Let the sword strike twice, even three times. It is a sword for slaughter, a sword for great slaughter, closing in on them from every side, so that hearts may melt and the fallen be many. I have stationed the sword for slaughter at all their gates. The sword that he is talking about here is the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians. What he's going to do in and through them as they go through this time of God's judgment upon them in their hearts and their lives. And you think those Babylonians are going to have any pity on them? Nope. The Ammonites is going to join forces, they thought, with Israel. But they saw the handwriting on the wall, and we'll see that in a little bit. And they understood, you know, we're defeated before we ever get started. So they backed off of the children of Israel, and they went with the Babylonians and the Syrians and others, forces and stuff. Here, he said, oh, it is made to flash like lightning. It is grasped for slaughter. Oh, sword. Slash to the right, then to the left. Shoo, shoo. Killing everything in its path. And he said, wherever your blade is turned, I too will strike my hands together, and my wrath will subside. I, the Lord, have spoken. So he wanted them to know that he's the one that's calling the shots. He's the one that's saying what's going to happen. When he renders his judgment on this country of ours, what do you think he's going to accomplish? You think he's going to be true to do what he said he's going to do? You better believe it. Verse 18 says, the word of the Lord came to me and said, Son of man. Think of that. How many times did I tell you there was 66 or 64 times in the book of Ezekiel that the Lord said the reason he did so the people would know what? That I am the Lord. He wanted them to understand. What do you think they were saying and doing? If they'd done Ezekiel, when he talked to the Lord and he told the Lord, oh, Lord, they'll just think it's some more of my old wise tales that I'm telling. You know, they're not going to believe that this is what the Lord says and stuff. And Ezekiel's already had to, like Jeremiah, escape for his life, you know, stuff because of what they're doing against him and what they will continue to do in their hearts and their lives. But your blood will be shed in our land, he said. Look at chapter 22. Let's look at Jerusalem's sins. The word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge this city of bloodshed? Then confront her with all of her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols. You have become guilty because of the blood that you have shed and have become defiled by the idols you have made. You have brought your day to a close and the end of your years has come. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nation and a laughing stock to all the country. Now, you talking about this is the Lord telling him to prophesy and tell the people of Israel, you know, that you were once God's chosen people. You had a house and a temple that was constructed and God accepted. But because you have defiled yourself, because you've sinned, because you've turned away, God's judgment is upon them. Verse 5, he said, those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, O infamous city, full of turmoil. Isn't it sad to see them in this situation here and so many situations and what they're dealing with? And our land today, what's happening all around us, you know? People are defying the word of God, aren't they? They're rebuking and turning away things. What was it somebody told me this week? I didn't see it, but somebody told me about a couple of the states is rebuking the Christian people in the states and giving them a rough road, a hole concerning the things that they're doing. Here was a city that once was a beautiful city of God. And what happened? It became rebuked by the Lord. What he was doing to them in their hearts and their lives. Look at verse 6. See how each of the princesses of Israel you are in your uses. Let me start again. Get these eyes where I can. See the word. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power. He uses his power to shed blood. In you, they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you, they have oppressed the aliens and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You know, no respect for life or purpose or anything. And earlier in the week, I had to go to a meeting. One of my friends from over in Pike County, over above Brookhaven over there, that I've served with for quite some time on the board, stuff, we were talking. And he said, Larry, I experienced something this past week I didn't think I'd ever had to deal with. But he said, I was in my backyard, and he said, actually, I was changing the oil in my lawnmower and putting on a new set of blades and stuff, and I just out in my little shop I have out in the back, and I heard screaming and hollering and carrying on, and he said, I walked to the side where I could see, and my neighbors said the woman was in her 70s, I believe he said, and the husband in his 80s. And he said the son had picked up something, hit his mom with it, and killed her, graveyard dead. And the old feller, the husband, 61 years they'd been married, you know, had to watch that and experience that. Knocked him down, took his billfold and everything, took her purse and ran away, you know, because of drug problems, you know. He said, I've been here for years, lived beside those old people, find the folks that you'll ever want to deal with, you know. Who would ever think that a son would do that to his parents, you know, but we hear of it every day. It's just closer now than it had ever been, you know. Used to be something we heard about way over yonder. Now it's right here at home, you know. The things that's happening in their hearts and their lives and what would cause somebody to do that in their lives. Yeah, he said, in you they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you they have oppressed the alien and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and desecrated my Sabbath. In you are slanderous men, bent on shedding blood. In you are those who eat at the mountain shrines and commit lewd acts. You know, you are in amongst slanderous men, bent on shedding blood. What do we hear of every day? Had one of them mass shootings over in New Orleans somewhere or another yesterday. A scene where the lot shot, one killed. No respect for blood, no care for human life whatsoever. And this is not old folks that's doing that. This is kids, 13, 14, 15 years old. Where's the parents, you know? Where'd they get those guns? How did they get them without somebody knowing something in their hearts and their lives and what they were doing? He said, you commit all these lewd acts and offer all these idols to these mountain shrines and build them in them high places, you know. That he said here in verse 10, in you are those who dishonor their father's bed. And you are those who violate women during their period. But they are ceremonially unclean. In you, one man commits a detestable offense with his neighbor's wife. Another shamefully defiles his daughter-in-law. Another violates his sister, his own father's daughter. In you, men accept bribes to shed blood. You take usury and excessive enters, and you make unjust gains from your neighbors by extortion. And you have forgotten me, declares the sovereign Lord. All those kind of sexual immoralities that he described there, we're living with every day in our lands round about us. The things that's happening, the disrespect. You know, and as we mentioned just a moment this morning, all this men wanting to be women and women wanting to be men and putting themselves in positions. You know, the man can outswim the woman, you know, because God did what? Made man, and she was just a what? Help me, what? The things that she did. And these professional sports, they want to excel, they want to, you know, the recognition, they want to be something they're not. I'm telling you, they're going to have a rude awakening one day. And being unjust by extortion, taking from their neighbors. And the Lord said, have you forgotten me? It don't sound like to me they ever knew him, did you? Verse 13 said, I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you have made and at the blood that you have shed in your midst. You know, all this is not going unnoticed by God. He sees what's happening all around us. He said, will your courage endure or your hands be strong in the day I deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. We saw that Wednesday night. God said what he was going to do, the plagues he's going to place, the things, and he finished it with that same wording there, and I will do it. Verse 15 says, I will disperse you among the nations, and I'll scatter you through the countries, and I'll put an end to your uncleanness. When you have been defiled in the eyes of the nation, you will know that I am the Lord. And what is happening every day now? All these that came from far and wide to get to America and stuff. Did they respect it when they got here? What have they done? You know, tried to destroy it on many portions, hadn't they? But the administration now is trying to do what? Correct a lot of those wrongs. Sending back by the hundreds those that are undeserving of being a part of this great land of ours. Stuff. But the media, what do they do about it? They just keep on and on and on, don't they? What he's doing and how mean he is and how he cares nothing about his fellow man and stuff. But you know, at least we've got somebody in the White House that acknowledges that he's a God. You know, what he wants to do for us. Verse 17 said, then the word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, the house of Israel has become dross or dung or waste to me. All of them are the copper, the tin, the iron, and the lead left inside a furnace. They are but the dross of silver. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because you have all become dross, I will gather you into Jerusalem. As men gather silver and copper and iron and lead and tin into a furnace to melt it with a fiery blast, so I'll gather you in my anger and wrath and put you inside the city and melt you in my anger. And my wrath and will put you inside the city and melt you. I will gather you and I will blow on you with my fiery raft, and you will be melted inside of her. As silver is melted in a furnace, so you will be melted inside of her, and you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath upon you. Let's fast forward to the New Testament. What did he tell in the Old Testament about the destruction of this old world of ours? He destroyed it the first time by what? Water. This time he's going to destroy it by how? Fire. He describes it as a furnace here. And all this silver and tin and bronze and stuff that's placed in the furnace, it's melted down where it can be shaped or formed into something brand new. All the particles that are no good rise to the top. They're skimmed off and just left what? The purest metal that is left. There's going to be a remnant, a little. Thank God every time he describes it, when he comes to the end, he talks about leaving a little remnant, a little portion, a little folks like you and I that tonight are here studying God's Word together, trying to learn and grow and be what the Lord wants us to be, you know. But so many people are doing what? Oh, I got my morning service in this morning, and we went to early church so we could have the rest of the day to do whatever, you know, and stuff. And thank God's pleased with that. What do you think he's going to do whenever he puts us to the test? He said, there'll be many that'll say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. And I'll say what? Depart from me, I never knew you. I'm sorry, but I never knew you. They'll be cast into that lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire never ceases. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Don't sound like something I want to be a part of. And I don't think you do either. And just like silver's melted in a furnace, he said, so will you melt in. Be melted inside of her. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. That old rich man, when he opened his eyes in hell, he realized that it was the Lord, didn't he? In his heart and his life. When Daniel went into that fiery furnace, what did he know? The Lord was in there with him, didn't he? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They had the faith, didn't they? We got the faith that we need to face what the Lord has prepared for those that have rejected him in our hearts and our lives, what they're doing to us. Verse 23 says, again, the word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has had no rain or showers in the days of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princesses within her like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people. They take treasures and precious things and make many widows within her. He's talking about Jerusalem now. When those Babylonians come, what'd they get? First time they got the most valuable stuff there was. That took the best of the men. Left the widows behind, old folks, those too little to go, make that journey. Second time they come back and got more and more. Third time they finished it all, burnt the city. He said here that her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. Who does that? The priest. They preaching what tickles the ear of man and not what thus saith the Lord says in their hearts and their lives. And he said, they say there's no difference between the clean and the unclean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and they kill people to make unjust gain. Whatever it takes, you know. Don't ever think that they paying people out there to blow your head off for a dollar bill, you know. Doesn't have a, you know, shame you hear a few dollars that somebody had that they robbed them for. They didn't have to kill them. You know, they could have took the money. What causes somebody to do that? Meanness, evil. The devil got that spirit within them that causes that. Verse 28 says, her prophets whitewash those deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. Her prophets, her preachers, whitewash. What is that? Why do you whitewash something? Make it look good, don't you? He said, these deeds for them, they whitewash them so that their false visions and lying divinations hold true. They say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When the Lord has not spoken, they claim to have a word from God, but they don't. God hadn't told them anything. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and the needy and mistreat the aliens, denying them justice. In 120-something days, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, whatever the days is, what has been revealed about the how your and our tax dollars has been used and abused in the last many years? Millions and billions of dollars have been placed into the wrong hands. You know, right here in the state of Mississippi, the welfare money that came down to help the poor and the needy and the stuff right here in our land, some of the richest of riches, even a former governor, pro football player, all these folks been involved in getting money that they didn't earn, getting money they didn't deserve, getting money that could have helped some poor soul to have been able to have a better life. What did they do? They just whitewashed it. Just whitewashed it. You ain't heard of none of them going to prison, have you? You and I, what would have happened? Our hearts and our lives. They say, this is what the Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. And he said, the people of the land practice extortion, commit robbery, they oppress the poor and needy, and mistreat the aliens, denying them justice. I look for a man among them who would build up the walls and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. He said, I look for a man that would stand in the gap, you know, and I found none. What about us and our hearts and our lives? And can we stand in the gap, make a difference in this whole world? Surely we could, you know. But what have we done? So many of our church people today have gone by the way of the world and doing the things that they enjoy doing without any regard. God said, I look for a man to stand in the gap, but I can find none. That's sad to me, you know. out of all of the children of Israel and all the Lord had done for the children of Israel, and how he fought for them through thick and thin. They were his people. He made them. Came from Adam and Eve all the way to where they are there. And he needed just one man to stand in the gap, but he couldn't find one. Couldn't find one. Think about what it's going to be one day in this whole world. A lot of people think they're going to make the flight. Going to be disappointed. He said here in closing, "So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all that they have done, declares the sovereign Lord." You're going to pay for yours. I'm going to pay for mine. God's going to deal with each one of us individually in our hearts and our lives. Any thought? Any question? It just kept sticking in my craw as I studied this week, that this is Israel. He's not talking about some foreign pagan land somewhere or another. He's talking about his home city, Jerusalem. And they gotten that far away from God. It's no surprise to me that we've gotten as far away from him in America and the world as we have today. But I see a glimmer of hope. I hope you do. You know that there's a opportunity, and I don't think it's very far out on for a revival to come in and sweep this land. But we ought to be praying for that. We ought to be desiring that. We prayed for Michael's surgery. We prayed for Brother Kenny's accident. We're praying for Gerald's valve that he's got to have fit. We're praying for each other, you know. But we need to be praying for God. For us to have, I say this all the time, Brother Ernie refers to it a lot. But wouldn't it be something, the spark of revival could begin right here in this little handful of people. For us being obedient and doing. But one thing about it, whether we're the spark that spreads the revival or not, if the Lord comes back, you know, we know that we're going to be a part of his exodus out of this old world. We got something to look forward to in our hearts and our lives. Any thought, any ideas, anything you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. Do good. Anything else? Ernie Ray dismisses, brother.